So welcome to this meditation course. I'm still a bit early, but I usually, it's my habit, I start off a few minutes earlier, maybe because I'm early also. Yeah. So I always call this my chit-chat session. Not that I got any response from the audience. Most of the time it's just me monologuing and But I just get you used to it. So maybe next time, if you're early, you know, we have a few minutes, we start a few minutes early, and then people have some questions or comments, they might find it a bit more comfortable to raise it when there are less people in the room, maybe. Or maybe that's it, that's just, there's no more people coming. Yeah. So This is a series of meditation courses that I'll be running on Saturday morning, and my aim is for it to be something practical. So usually we will do two guided meditation per session, because meditation is one of those things that sometimes knowing too much theory is not that helpful. In fact, it's possible to study all the theory of meditation. I did a 7-year course in Buddhist philosophy. It's called the Master Program under FPMT, Foundation for Preservation of Mahayana Tradition. So it's the organization that this center belongs to. So during my course, we did study quite a bit about the theory behind meditation. You'd be surprised that there's actually a lot of words involved, yeah. But what I found in my own experience is that you don't actually need that much theory to start. In fact, in my own personal experience, I started meditating probably around 16. When I was 16, and I have no theory at all. I just pick up a book, and I came across this idea of meditation, and I thought, oh, this is something interesting. So I just start. I just sit on the wooden floor on a pillow, and then I realize both are mistake, because the wooden floor only get harder and harder, and the pillow just instantly gets squashed under my weight. And so as good as not having a pillow, yeah. So but through my just experimenting with it, I find that I learn a lot, and then subsequently which kind of spurred me on to learn a bit more about the theory behind meditation, the different aspects of it, and that was a very helpful experience, because you can combine your own experience with the different concepts that you learn about, and so you can match experience with concept, and so that things become more meaningful. It's not so helpful if you have a lot of concepts but you don't have any experience to match it with. And then those concepts and ideas can get pretty weird, you know, because it's not grounded in actual experience. And on the other hand, also, it's not too helpful to have a lot of experiences, but no framework, no kind of idea what you're doing or where you're going. And then you start to pick up, you know, other people's ideas. You know, you talk about it, and then these people tell you something, and that people tell you that's another thing. And so in the end, you might find that it's become like a japalang, like that, you know, like a mixture of all sorts of different ideas, different spiritual traditions, different religions, all kind of blended in a blender, like that, you know, blend together. And that is not so helpful either, because you can easily get confused. Yeah, you can confuse yourself. So So in this series, I'm presenting meditation from a Buddhist perspective. Although you can meditate, you know, whether you are religious or non-religious, because meditation is really about our own mind. Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to start. And this, I think this month, the topic of the course is called Blissful Abiding of Body and Mind. Yeah. And it's a particular type of meditation called calm abiding meditation. So there are actually many different types of meditation, and different meditation bring about different kind of effects. So I'm presenting, at least this month, one specific type, which is called calm abiding meditation. And I find it helpful to start off by maybe describing a little bit what we are trying to achieve with calm abiding meditation. Because I also find that the ideas that we build up about the result of our meditation greatly influence how we go about meditating. So if someone were to tell you, we could call this meditation concentration meditation. Right? This is a very common word. People say, oh, it's concentration meditation. And concentrate means focus. And they also like to call it single-pointed focus. No, not a single block, a single point. You know how small a point is? No. Yeah. Single-pointed focus. And when people, especially if you're new to meditation, if you heard about it, then you form a certain image in your mind. Oh, this is what my meditation experience should look like. And which means that if you are meditating on the breath, I must concentrate on my breath. Concentrate, focus, single-pointedly. And then you, to your surprise, you find that it hardly ever happened in your meditation. It's very unlikely that you will be concentrating on your breath all the time. You're more likely to be very distracted. You know? You think about this, think about that. Then sounds, different kind of sensations in the body, or you fall asleep. You know? So all sorts of things happen, except for that single-pointed focus. Yeah. So people get very frustrated. They say, oh, I'm such a failure. I fail in my meditation. And so what happened? They give it up because it's so unpleasant, right? Who wants to be a failure? You know? And especially if I try meditating once or twice and it's so frustrating and not getting what I want and it's not supposed to be, it didn't turn out to be single-pointed focus, then people just give up. And it's a very common situation, yeah. In fact, when I introduce, if in a social setting, I introduce myself to, people ask you, what do you do, right? We define ourselves by a job, right? Then if I were to say, oh, I teach meditation, then they, quite often, usually I try not to talk about my job. No, I always try to change the topic. Because then they would say, oh, meditation, I've tried that. Meditation is good for you, isn't it? It's good for you. I tried it once, but I cannot meditate. I'm always thinking about this, thinking about that, you know. I just cannot focus. Then I say, okay, very good, let's change the topic. Because you cannot expect me to teach a meditation course, you know, like at a function or something like that, right? But that is so common that, and it arises when people have a wrong idea of what is calm-abiding meditation. And also a wrong idea about the process of getting to the result of meditation. Yeah. After all, they usually try once or twice, right? This is a bizarre thing, right? I thought nobody will open the piano, lift up the cover and say, I will play Mozart the first time I touch the keys of the piano, right? But why do they expect that they will have single-pointed focus in meditation the first time they sit down and meditate? I thought, this is bizarre. Do they mistaken meditation with medication? Like if they pop a pill and then maybe they will just calm down and they'll be de-stressed and they'll be relaxed. Yeah. But unfortunately, meditation is not medication. So it's a process. Yeah. Okay, so the image I like you to hold in your mind about calm-abiding meditation is, we say calm-abiding means we calm all the disturbance to our body and mind. Disturbance such as like body is like, all this aches and pains and all this fidgetness, this feeling of discomfort in your body when you meditate, and disturbance of the mind. Of course, we are very familiar with, you know, especially we're very stressed, that not able to stop thinking about the thing that causes all your stress or your anxiety. Or the other extreme is you cannot stay awake. You feel very dull, very drowsy, you actually fall asleep, which is probably because you are sleep deprived. Yeah. So we calm all this disturbance, all these things, so that the mind can abide. That's the next word. Abide means it's not like focus, like, oh, like this. It's just abide means it just rests. The mind is resting, resting on what? Whatever it is you are interested in, whatever it is you are meditating on, it just rests there. And the whole process, the whole experience is effortless. That's a very important thing, because people tend to struggle in meditation. They struggle against their thought, they struggle against their body, they struggle against their daydream, they struggle and struggle and struggle, and then they're supposed to be peaceful and calm and still. How can it be possible, right? I mean, you struggle, 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 then suddenly you... So struggle is actually not the way to proceed in calm abiding meditation. So you try to get an image. It's hard to imagine, you know, but there are times in our life, occasion, maybe not meditating, where you feel very at peace, very at ease. You are not struggling against anything. And your attention is very happily and comfortably abiding or staying with whatever it is that you are interested in, right? So, for example, for me, like let's say if I read a good book, you know, I get very engaged with the book, I absorb into the book, and I don't feel that it's a torture to, in fact, like what they call the page turner, right? You just turn and turn and turn and turn. You didn't even notice it, right? There is a kind of smoothness in the engagement with the book, and the rest of the world disappeared, which is part of the enjoyment, isn't it? You drop, you forgot about everything else. You are fully engaged with the story within the book. Yeah. So calm abiding is a little bit like that, but more intense than that. Yeah. But that experience of calming all other things that disturbs you and allowing your mind, your attention to happily abide on whatever it is that you are interested in, you are engaged with, is the result of calm abiding meditation. Okay? And the difference between calm abiding and playing a computer game is, in a computer game, it does absorb your attention. You get very focused. I don't know, like morning, early morning traffic commuting, right, on the MRT, everybody has a mobile phone, right? Everybody in Singapore is doing something on the mobile phone. And sometimes I don't have anything interesting in my phone. I have no computer games because I'm easily addicted to them. So they are all uninstalled. So all I do is I look at other people play games, or I look at people watching Korean drama, Chinese drama. So, and that is one of the most common experiences in our modern world of engaging our attention. Right? You will have maybe a particular drama, anime, or computer game that you particularly like. You find that there is no problem for you to engage with it, isn't it? You don't get distracted. In fact, sometimes you're too engaged, you might miss your stop. You know? I'm always amazed that people are able to spontaneously arise out of their engagement. Oh, it's my stop. I got off to work. Yeah. Right. So that is the most common experience that you all can have, or we all can have, of really the mind fully engaged in doing something. It's quite pleasant, isn't it? Right. I'm sure it's pleasant. Otherwise, why would you torture yourself every morning playing games on your mobile phone, isn't it? But the difference between that kind of mental engagement and calm abiding meditation is you get addicted to it. Right? There is dependency, because it all depends on the skill of the programmer in programming the game in such a way that it continue to engage your attention, it continue to give you a sense of pleasure out of it. So if you don't have the mobile phone, that's it. That's the end of your mental engagement. No, because the ability to engage in that context depends on the object. Does it make sense? Yeah. So we ourselves don't have the power or the ability to engage our attention on something out of our own conscious decision. It all depends on the game or the drama or whatever it is. So then it creates a situation of dependency. I'm sure you have heard of people getting addicted to online games, addicted to all this watching dramas and things like that, right? It becomes a kind of dependency in which if that is taken away from you, you are unable to settle your mind. You are unable to find the sense of pleasure that comes from engaging with it. All right. So in meditation, we are not giving away our power like this. We are taking it back. We are training our attention, training our mind to cultivate the habit that I get to decide what I want to engage in. I get to decide when and where I can allow my mind to put aside all those things that are not needed or unhelpful and fully absorb my attention on whatever it is that I have chosen to engage in. Okay, so that is the biggest difference between the kind of concentration, the kind of focus you gain out of calm abiding meditation and the concentration and focus you gain out of playing a computer game or watching a very engaging drama. Right? And it's a massive difference. Right? One will render you become addictive, kind of dependency behavior. The other one will empower you to be independent of that. So that's what we are trying to cultivate over this. And now I'll talk about different aspects of it over this few weeks. All right. So far, okay? Are you all with me? All right, so let me just explain how we're going to start and then we'll do a meditation together. So I usually present meditation, any type of meditation, including calm abiding, in terms of a three-step process. I just made this up, okay? Because I think sometimes when you're new to it, it's easy if people tell you, do step one, then do step two, then do step three, right? But once you are used to it, you can just forget about the steps, yeah? So step one is acquiring a seat. Acquiring a seat is, you know, what sort of posture? Where are you going to do this meditation? What sort of posture? So that's the first step. I'll talk a little bit about that. Step two, I call it helping your body and mind to make transition into meditation. This is to acknowledge that, you know, before you meditate, you might be doing all sorts of things, right? Driving in traffic, you know, catching a bus, or you might be busy doing other things. And then you sit down and meditate. So maybe your body is in the meditation posture, but maybe your body and mind are still not ready. So they need to have some time and some space to help them to make that transition, to put aside whatever it is happening earlier on so they can come back here and now and fully engage in your meditation. So this is the second step. So there are certain ways we can help our body and mind to make that transition. Right? The third step I call it deepening meditation. So now that you kind of transition into meditation, how do you go deeper into your meditation? That's deepening meditation. So this first meditation we'll look at step one and step two. Yeah, I just explained a little bit. But usually I ask, anybody consider yourself brand new to meditation? Never meditated before? One, two, okay, three, okay. All right, thank you. All right, so I'll just explain a little bit more details today. First step, acquiring a seat, is you ask yourself, what am I going to sit on? Assuming that you are meditating while sitting. Yeah? You can also meditate lying down, you can meditate standing up. But calm abiding meditation usually is either sitting or lying down. Okay, because standing, most people cannot stand for very long, and walking involve movement. And calm abiding meditation is not so suitable when there is movement. Because if you really want to absorb your mind deep in your meditation, you don't want to be walking, right? You might walk into the pillar or walk into the wall and that's the end, right? So so basically just these two, sitting and lying down. And because of the setting, actually when I was teaching meditation in Sydney, not in a Buddhist center, in like a community hall, most of the people are lying down because they have also a lower back problem, they cannot sit too long, and they can just lie on a yoga mat. Yeah. All right, but let me just explain sitting first for today. Yeah. Also, I don't want to be too outrageous and say, oh, you can just lie down. Yeah. Although I don't mind, but someone may complain about me. What's happening to Wai Chung's meditation class? Everybody is just lying there and snoring away. No, what sort of meditation is that? Yeah, this is the thing, and then another thing about ideas, people's idea of meditation, the posture, how you should look. So usually you have magazine that shows, usually they find a model, la, no? Not someone like me, someone look nice, no? A proper shape, yeah. And they will sit cross-legged on a piece of rock, you know, like a boulder. Then I said, this person usually don't know how to meditate. First of all, rocks are very, very hard, I can tell you. When you meditate on it, they get harder and harder and harder. And you really realize why people use cushion instead of a piece of rock. Yeah. I used to have a friend, a classmate, when I was studying Buddhist philosophy, and we did a retreat once. So we are like a one-week retreat. Like we're all sitting on cushions, right? No, he came in with a brick, like a big piece of brick. He's going to put there, going to sit the retreat on the brick. Because there was this famous Tibetan meditator called Milarepa, a great yogi, who basically just sit in a cave and meditate most of his life, right? And cave, he doesn't come with cushion, not like these days, you know, we have hand luggage and all this luggage, and then we pull out all sorts of things. He's basically just wander into a cave and just sit on a piece of rock, right? So he wants to emulate Milarepa. And I was betting with my other classmate, he wouldn't last one day. In actual fact, he didn't last one session. Because the next session, what happened to the break? Disappear. Become a cushion already. Yeah. It's very, very painful to sit on a piece of rock, okay? Right. But yet people have a certain image of how they should sit in meditation. For example, sitting on the floor, cross-legged, a very painful posture, I can assure you. Because unless you acclimatize yourself to it, you get used to it, you did a lot of stretching, it is a very painful posture. And I discourage people from sitting on the floor. I try to sell people this idea. There's this wonderful human invention called a chair. Especially a chair with padding, you know, like those behind. Very precious commodity. And you just have to put your backside on it. And then suddenly, all the pain and the aches and the lower back problem disappear. And then you can meditate in bliss. How wonderful is it? Forget about how you look. Nobody's looking at you. And if they're looking at you, then they're not meditating. Then their opinion doesn't matter. Right? If you just experiment, and you'll find that actually most people will find a chair to be a much better support for their body in meditation than sitting cross-legged. Sitting cross-legged, you need to do a lot of yoga stretching. Okay? And it's not something you can accomplish immediately. People say, oh, you show me how you sit cross-legged, I will do it. So it's nothing to do with whether I show you or not, right? I show you, you also cannot do, right? But so there's something to take note of. The posture, most important, is you should be support your spine. Allow your spine to be able to be upright in a natural way, follow its natural curvature. Most of the time when people sit on the floor and if they're not flexible enough, their spine becomes like this because they cannot relax the thing. And that is very bad for your lower back. Yeah, you aggravate your lower back if you have any lower back issue. So if you feel pain, like today's session, then I recommend you try the chair. And your meditation will miraculously improve instantly. It's very rare to find instant improvement. Use the chair. Okay? Right. So the main thing is the back, to be upright in a natural way, so you can breathe freely and easily, and that really really helped very much with your meditation. Okay, so that's the first thing to take note. Second thing, how to transition into meditation. A simple way is to return your attention to your own body. No need to try too hard. Just like lightly come back and notice, oh, how is my face feeling? You know, am I tensing up the muscles on my face? How's the shoulder feeling today? Just become aware of the sensations in your body, throughout the whole body, bit by bit. Then you find that what happens is that it's like you reconnect your body and mind together. Actually, a lot of us are a bit disconnected, right? We kind of live up inside the head, thinking. Until sometimes some people don't even notice that they're hungry, they don't notice they're thirsty, they don't notice they're tired. No, they just sort of keep going, until then they collapse. So that is a bit of a disconnection. And you find that meditation works better if you reconnect them back. And the reconnection is very simple. Just come back and pay attention to your own body. Right? So I'm going to, in this guided meditation, invite you to return your attention to the body, part by part. You know, I'll describe to you, I'll guide you. Yeah. So as in, I don't keep quiet in this meditation. I usually don't keep quiet in the meditation I led. Yeah. Because I know if it's silent meditation, why you need me here, right? You go and you do it at home, lah. Why do I have to sit in front of you and we both keep quiet? What's the point of it, right? And a lot of people, especially if you are new to meditation, having some voices, come back to your meditation now. It's quite helpful, isn't it? It might interrupt you in the middle of your holiday or your fantasy. Or I used to joke that you might be plotting a murder. No, and so how to get back at somebody? Then my voice would say, "Please come back to your body, come back to your breath." Then, oh, all right. No, because after all, you might forget that you are actually meditating. Yeah. So I will guide you and invite you to return your attention to the body. There's one last thing. Then we start. You will find that your attention doesn't stay with your body. Right? Your attention tends to wander off. You have lots of things to say about this and that, you know. And that is actually a very normal thing, right? The wandering mind, the arising of different thoughts, different images, memories, fantasies, daydreaming. This is very normal, right? And meditation is, we are going to learn about them and learn to work with them, right? So if you notice that, no problem, because Wai Chong would interrupt your daydream by saying, come back to your body, come back to here and now, come back to your meditation. In fact, if during your meditation you didn't wander off, your mind didn't wander off, you didn't get distracted at all, please let me know. Either you are a very advanced meditator and I would say, no need to come to my course, or I wonder what's going on? That's not normal. No, normal people's mind wander. You know, they think about this and that. Maybe they wander off sometime more, sometime less, but it's normal to have a wandering mind. Okay? Alright, let's start and let's do a session of meditation. So, select your posture, the first step. I don't know which one you're going to choose, but you're stuck with it for the next 20 minutes, so you better choose properly. Just make sure that you can allow your back to be upright in a natural way. By that I mean you don't have to like try to straighten your back. No, by contracting some of your muscles. Actually, not necessary. Yeah, and then it wouldn't last anyway. So just adjust your posture in such a way that you feel most comfortable, most relaxed. You can rest your hands on the both knees, if you like, or traditionally we put one hand on top of the other, and then we rest them in the lap. So whichever posture for your arms, your hands, they are most comfortable for you. Eyes, you can close them completely. In my guided meditation, I usually just suggest people close their eyes because it's the easiest thing to do. So take a few moments and just let your body settle into the meditation posture you have adopted. I invite you to pay attention and notice sensations at the points of contact between your body and the floor, your body and the cushion or your seat. Notice sensations of something solid, stable, firm, maybe hard, maybe soft, at those points of contact. Feel that these qualities, which we associate with the earth, with the ground, are here to support your body in this posture, to hold you up, to keep your body well balanced and safe during the meditation. Just by noticing that, just by allowing your body to settle into the posture, a very automatic process can begin, whereby the body can start to loosen up a bit, unwind a bit, letting go of some unnecessary tightness and tension. So that is the first step, acquiring a seat, a supportive seat for your body and for your mind in meditation. So for the second step, we're going to take some time, slowly, gently, to help our body and mind to make that transition, to give up things that preoccupy the body and mind, so that they can shift gears and they can come fully into the meditation. So for that, we're going to return our attention to our body. So I invite you to place your attention gently at the crown of your head. See if you can notice sensations at the crown of your head, the topmost part of your body. Just lightly place your attention there, not much effort. And see if you can notice sensations at the crown, maybe some tingling sensation, feeling of coolness or warmth. Maybe a slight feeling of pressure, or maybe nothing at all, which is also perfectly fine. Imagine that your attention, your awareness is like water flowing downwards from the crown, flowing forward into your forehead, so that you become aware of sensations at your forehead. Notice whether you are tensing up the muscles of your forehead or not. And continue down to the rest of your face. Notice sensations at your face. Are you clenching your jaw? Are you tensing up the muscles around your eyes? So usually we do have a bit more control over our facial muscles. So see if you can, as you become aware of any tension in your face, just gently try to relax those tensions. Just to let in a feeling of softness into your face, a feeling of ease, of comfort and relaxation into your face. Think of meditation as not so much a struggle, but as one of skillfully paying attention to the sensations in the body, paying attention to what is happening in your mind. And throughout the meditation, you are most welcome to ignore what I'm saying, especially if it's not relevant to your experience, it's not helpful. Just feel free to ignore me and carry on with the meditation in the way you want. So also become aware of sensations at the sides of your head, at the back of your head, and maybe even inside the head. Just a light touch will do. No need to put too much effort into it. Now let your attention come back and become aware of sensations at your neck, the back of the neck, the muscles of your neck, sensations in your throat. At any point during the meditation, if you feel like clearing your throat, please feel free to just go ahead. Don't try to suppress it. And then let your attention come back and become aware of sensations in both shoulders. Don't worry if your attention has wandered off, you find your mind preoccupied with thinking, commenting, maybe remembering or daydreaming. So all these activities are quite normal. Just see if you can gently return your attention to your shoulders. Notice sensations at the top of your shoulders, at the front, at the back, at the shoulder joints themselves. So very often, most of us do store some tension and tightness at the shoulders, which may feel a bit uncomfortable, unpleasant. But it's not something we can easily relax or release. So see if you can just allow those sensations to just be. imagine your awareness, your attention is like water, and allow it to flow down both arms, starting from your shoulder joints. Just let it flow down. Notice sensation in your arms, sensations in your upper arms. Moving at your own pace, feel free to ignore me. Maybe you notice sensations at the elbows. Very subtle sensations, simple sensations, nothing fantastic, but that is okay. Just come back and become aware of sensations in your own body, sensations in your lower arms, at the wrists, into the hands, sensations in your palms, sensation at the back of your hands, the fingers, all the way to the fingertips. Sometimes some of us may even notice a tingling sensations in some parts of the arms or hands or fingers, sense of warmth where they touch one another, sense of coolness. And now that you are aware of both arms, see if you can, in your mind, allow the weight of the arms to just rest comfortably on their support. Tell yourself you don't have to tense up the muscles of your arms unnecessarily, don't have to hold them up in any particular way. Just surrender that weight to gravity. Now let your attention come back and notice sensations at your chest. You will pay close attention, you may notice the movements of the chest, expanding, contracting with each breath. Maybe you sense the beating of your own heart. Let that awareness flow further downwards into your abdomen, into your belly. Notice sensations here. Imagine almost as if you can sense the organs within your body. Notice how they are doing. Some of you may notice the movement of the abdomen rising and falling as we breathe in and out. Now that we are aware of the front of our body, we also can pay attention to the back. So see if you can return your attention and notice sensations at your upper back. Just a light touch will do. Return your attention, be aware of sensations at the upper back. Maybe also the middle back and your lower back. Notice whether there are any unpleasant sensations, any tightness, discomfort. Sometimes when we return our attention to the back, when our attention touches the back muscles, some of them may spontaneously relax, and you may find that your spine will just adjust itself, move, and shifts into a more comfortable, more natural position. So see if you can allow that to happen. Now let your attention come back and become aware of sensations at your pelvis. Notice how the weight of your pelvis is resting on the cushion or the chair. notice sensations here at this part of your body. And if you can, in your mind, see if you simply give permission or allow the weight of your pelvis to rest comfortably on the chair, on your cushion. Imagine releasing any unnecessary tightness and tension in this area, and just surrender the weight of your upper body, comfortably onto your seat, onto the ground, and let it go. And allow your awareness now to flow down both legs at the same time. Imagine starting at your hip joints. Don't worry if you can't identify the exact location. Imagine that awareness flow from your hips down towards your knees. Notice sensations in your legs. From the knees, let your awareness flow down towards your ankles. Notice sensations here as well. And then allow your attention to flow into both feet. Notice sensations at the soles of your feet, the toes. And now that you are aware of sensations in both legs, see if you can rest the weight of both legs comfortably on the floor. Imagine just surrender that weight to gravity. Now that we have reconnect our mind, our attention with the body, from the crown all the way to the feet, let your attention come back to your face. You may notice that you have tensed up your facial muscles unconsciously during this process, maybe trying to figure out what I'm saying. Now you can relax the facial muscles once again. Just let in a feeling of softness into your face. The meditation is almost over. So for the last few moments, just rest your attention with your body in meditation. When you do get distracted, come back to your body and see if you can highlight to yourself and enjoy any pleasant sensations in the body. Any part of the body that may have feel slightly more relaxed, more comfortable, more at ease. See if you can notice those pleasant sensations in your own body. And rest here for just a few more moments. Okay, so that's about 15 minutes of meditation. Um, So also that gives you your own personal experience, whether you have made a suitable choice in terms of your posture. And any question at this point of time? Any comments or questions? I'm so crystal clear that you have no question. I doubt it, yeah, but... Okay, so you can... Oh, yes, go on. So you sit cross-legged and you experience some numbness. Yeah, is it okay to move about? Yes, I think you should move in a very great way. You should transfer yourself onto a chair. Yeah. Okay. I'm not joking, but that is one option. One reason why you experience numbness is maybe because you have placed your body, your leg, in a position that is not 100% comfortable for it. There's some form of compression on some parts of your body, usually it's pressing on the nerve. Yeah. So, of course, you can move. I mean, it's not a prison, you're not imprisoning yourself. You can experiment with it. You'll find that in meditation, especially calm abiding meditation, every movement you make is like going backward. Because once you move, the settling process is like you have a glass of water that's a bit muddy, murky, right? Then you leave it there, or like orange juice, right? You want it to settle, right? Settle. And then you move it. What happens? It gets stirred up again, and then you have to wait again for it to settle. So the more you move, the more. The means basically is that you settle, and then you disturb it, and then you settle, you disturb it, you settle, you disturb it. Yeah. So that's one reason why people don't move in meditation. Because any movement, you can experiment with it, any little movement, even moving your finger, could have some effect on your meditation. I mean, that doesn't mean that you should just endure the pain or discomfort, but it's just so that you understand why people opt to not move, because physical stillness helps to enhance mental stillness. Yeah. So that is the reason why if you start off with a posture that is most supportive for you and doesn't cause any kind of discomfort or compression, then the meditation will proceed much smooth, in a more smooth way. Yeah, but you are most welcome to move. Yeah, you're most welcome to stand up in my meditation. I don't know what you're going to do, but anyway, it's up to you. Yeah. Okay. Any other question? Yes. I can't hear it. You say meditating with music. Yes, you can. I usually don't do it because in the Buddhist tradition we don't have a history of playing music while meditating, but you can experiment with it and see how. Yeah, actually, when calm abiding meditation is going well, you stop hearing. Yeah, because your attention is withdrawn from the ears, so you pay less attention to sound. But you can experiment. I used to do it when I was teaching meditation in a studio right next to the main road. It's very noisy, and there's all these people talking and so on. Then I play some kind of Tibetan music, something soothing, just to try to cover up the noise. Because sound is the greatest kind of, when you're new to meditation, noise is the greatest disturbance. People get very disturbed by it. So then if playing some music that helps to soothe the mind, then please, you can try with that. Yeah. One reason why I think Buddhism, they don't use sound, they don't play music, is because it becomes another dependency. Because you're very used to playing the music. One day you don't have the music and you want to meditate, then you might find that might find it a bit more difficult because you are so used to, it becomes sort of like linked to the music. Yeah. Okay. All right, so, yes. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, normal. Because what happens is with physical relaxation, and most of us, we carry a certain degree of tiredness and sleep deprivation with us. So once the body relaxes, what do the mind do? The brain will say, oh, time to sleep. You know, which is what happened at night in bed, right? You, oh, the day is over. Then you relax. Then the mind, that's it, gone. So the same effect happened in meditation also. Yeah, and it's not a bad thing, because I think sometimes that kind of physical tiredness or exhaustion or mental exhaustion, sleep deprivation can only be overcome by sleeping or resting, really resting. So if that happened in meditation, because of that, then just go ahead and have a nice nap. Yeah, because there really is no way to get over sleep deprivation except by sleeping. Yeah, and it's so common in meditation class, people say, I don't want to fall asleep in meditation. Even though you look at them, they don't know, because I look at them, they... So I feel very gung-ho like that. I say, oh, please, here's a pillow. Just lie down and sleep, okay? Because they they need sleep in that moment more than they need to meditate. Yeah, when they have enough sleep, when they have enough rest, then automatically they will not feel this kind of sleepiness, and they will be able to stay awake and alert in the meditation. Right? As I told you, it's meditation, not medication. Yeah. So it actually helps you to return you to the more natural balance that your body and mind need. Yeah. Okay. So, yes. Oh, any length is good. Any length is good. 1 minute, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. The only thing I say to people when they ask this is, let's say if you only have 15 minutes, like we are all very busy, right? We're busy. I must be out of the door in 15 minutes time. Otherwise, I will not get my train or bus, or I will be caught in the traffic. If you have 15 minutes before you need to be off, I suggest you meditate only 5 minutes and leave 10 minutes for you to run around and do this. Instead of what some of us will do is, I will meditate for 14 minutes and then the last minute I will dash out. Yeah, and then you spend the 14 minutes thinking, is this time to dash out? I must get ready. Is this time yet? I must get this done. You meditate 5 minutes or however long in complete a sense of that, oh, there's ample amount of time for me to do the next thing. So I can actually drop it. I don't have to worry about it. Right? And then so that you can really settle. And also, a good timer is very important. Yeah, that will keep you help to keep track of time for you. And it will take the pressure of time off your mind. So that is actually more important than how long you sit. Yeah. Okay. Yes. No. Just now I hardly mentioned the breath. Right. That's the body. That's the body. I haven't introduced the breath yet. I know you are breathing, but I haven't. The transition from helping body and mind to transition into meditation mainly is reconnecting your attention with your body. Yeah. The whole body, not just a part of your body. And this next meditation, I will touch on the breath. Okay, but the thing about the body is I actually want you to pay attention and notice the body. Because then you can notice, oh, whether this posture is suitable for your body or not. And also it helps the body, the whole body, to start to adjust itself to meditation and starts to basically release some unnecessary tension. Yeah. Breath is, which is what I'm going to talk about next. But first, you notice I spent a lot of time on this first two steps, right? Blah, 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 about acquiring a seat, and then blah, 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 about making a transition. I'm not even so-called meditating yet, right? I'm still transitioning into meditation, yeah. And as far as one concerned, you can spend half an hour and transitioning is perfectly fine. Okay? Because that's what is needed. That is the process we need to set aside things that are preoccupying us. No? It's like sleeping like that, no? It takes a while for you to go from waking state to sleep, right? Although some people are blessed with the ability to just sleep at any time, at any place, and they just and sleep. I hate to travel with these people, no, because I cannot sleep on a plane. I cannot sleep in a car. Anyway, sitting up, I can't sleep, right? But these people next to me, still on the plane, still on the car, and then I arrive at the hotel room and still sleep. How can you do it? I cannot sleep in the hotel room on the bed on the first night. I was not used to the bed, so cannot sleep. It's so torture. Yeah. So they are blessed with the ability to kind of just switch off. Yeah. And in meditation, it's not quite the same, but also the same. It's similar, is that you must kind of learn to shift gears. Right? You release the kind of a certain level of mental and physical activities that we are preoccupied with, while we are working or driving or commuting, and to shift into a different state of your body and mind. And that will take as long as it takes. Right? It's not up to you to decide. It's for the body and mind to decide. Right? So it's not a problem to provide lots of time and space for that transition to happen. Okay. Right? In fact, most of the frustration people experience is they don't take into account that there is a need to make a transition. They sit down, they adjust, all right, concentrate, at peace, be still and bliss. Yeah. It's not happening. Yeah. So because it does take some time to release all the stress, release all the reactivity. Okay. So the third step, deepening meditation, we make use of what I will call a support. Most people call it a meditation object because they're going to focus on it. I rather you don't think of it that way, so I call it a support. A support is there to support you to go deeper into your meditation. Don't have to hold on to it for dear life, like, oh, must focus on my breath. It's not as if you're going to stop breathing if you get distracted, right? So the breath is, I hope the breath is always with you. Don't stop during this session, okay? Right? Otherwise, I have to call ambulance and then make police report. Yeah. The breath is always there, right? And I call it a support is because you can always return your attention to it. And by returning your attention to it, it helps you to go deeper into your meditation. That's what the means of support is. You know, you don't have to worry that you lose it or it's something disastrous if you somehow, you know, get distracted elsewhere. Not a problem. You know, you can always come back to the breath. You come back, you become aware of the breath, and by working with paying attention to the breath, it supports you so that you can go deeper into your meditation. All right? So today I'm going to talk about how to use the breath as a support. And the next few sessions, I will introduce other types of support, because some people, for some reason, just find the breath is just too boring for them. They just can't stand it. You know, this breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out. They find it too hard to engage with. Yeah, and that is understandable. So there are other possible supports. Yeah, but the breath is a good one because it's not only it's because it's related to the body. Just by paying attention to the breath, you also deepen that connection between body and mind. So it has additional benefits. Yeah, and it's a very soothing, very neutral object. It doesn't stimulate you. It doesn't stir you up. In fact, it probably drives you to sleep more likely. Yeah, and so from the point of view of settling the whole system, it has certain advantage in that sense. Okay. So in this next meditation, I'm going to invite you to return your attention to the breath. And I suggest people to not just focus on a particular spot, because it's also very common, especially like when I first start to meditate, I use the sensation around the nostrils to meditate on the breath. So only focus on the breath around the nostrils when I first start. But now I think, first of all, that because of this idea of single point focus, right? Really focus. One nostril, not both, what does one nostril? Yeah. But too much effort and too much like trying too hard. Yeah. So now I decided that sometimes it's maybe good to try observing the breath in a different way, in a more relaxed way. So if you, especially like one day you have no stuck, right? Cannot observe the breath in the nostrils. Not the end of the world, right? No. So you can notice breath sensations in different parts of the body. The nostrils, common one are nostrils. The chest, you can feel the movement of the chest. And some of us, not all of us, some of us can feel the movement of the breath at the belly, at the abdomen. Yeah. And when you become a bit more still and more settled, you can notice breath sensations actually in all parts of your body. The shoulders, the throat, the back of the mouth, and all the way down, you know, to your, down to the, I forgot this muscle, the one right at the base of your pelvis, yeah. So you can notice breath sensations in all parts of your body, right? And so it's good to start off with a more broad kind of focus, not try to narrow it down, just a broad focus, just notice and enjoy the sense of the breath. The breath is an ever-changing sensation, like a wave, like that, moving in and out, and rising, falling, expanding, contracting. So, and I invite you to rest your attention on the breath. Right. This is the most important instruction in this part. The practice is to come back to the breath. If you cannot remember anything, just remember this one. Come back to the breath, or come back to the body. Right. Why I use the word come back? Because all of us can do it. You can always, I say, oh, notice your breath. Oh, already your attention is back to the breath. Right? Say, notice your shoulder. Notice your right shoulder. You can come back to your right shoulder. Right? What we cannot do, at least at the beginning, is to stay with the breath. Now, staying is hard. Right? You would have noticed just now. As to stay with the body, to stay with the breath, to stay with a particular idea, to stay with it's hard because we get distracted, right? And so if I make the goal as something of meditation, as staying with the breath, you find it very hard to achieve the goal. It's very disappointing, very frustrating because you can't stay. Even if you really want to focus on the breath, your mind gets distracted or you start to fall asleep. You know? But you have no problem coming back to the breath, isn't it? So you will come back. Oh, you know, once I open my mouth, maybe you will come back to the breath. So it's easy. It's something you can achieve, coming back to the breath. And once you come back to the breath, only two things can happen. Either it stays with the breath, then no problem. Don't have to do anything. Oh, okay, I'll stay with the breath, all right. Or it's gone somewhere else. I don't know where. Paris. Okay. Say, oh, come back. So, right? So, you don't have to worry about the staying part. The staying part will happen when the mind and body are sufficiently settled and at ease. You're not anxious about anything. Right? When you're anxious, of course, then you go and think about other things. Not then you will settle. So, in meditation, all you need to do is to come back to your support. Right? And everybody can do it. In fact, I say, if you can do 10,000 times, in one session, you've done very well, you know, because you're very diligently guiding your attention. You wouldn't be 10,000 times, right? I don't think. But every time you come back, you are meditating. And that is the process of meditation. And you're helping your body and mind to deepen the sense of settling down. Make sense? Okay. Right. So we're going to do another meditation. And so I'll repeat my three-step process, acquiring a seat, making transition, but maybe I'll spend a bit less time talking about this one. And then the bulk of the meditation, I invite you to come back to the breath sensations in your own body, especially your out-breath. Every time you feel yourself breathing out, naturally, you don't have to force it. See if you can notice that actually there is a sense of relaxation that comes along with it. Because you have to relax your diaphragm and the muscles of the chest in order to breathe out, right? So automatically breathing out is a process, a movement of release. And as you breathe out, you release carbon dioxide, right? So I like to make use of this opportunity to help my body and my mind to release things that I don't need. Release, not blow out. Not like that, okay? Not trying to get rid of anything, but just to let them go. Right? Let them go. And sometimes you will notice I will forget about it. So that's why I use a word to remind myself. As I breathe out, in my mind, I say, release. This is my magic word. I've spent many years finding it. You know, I used to say relax, but some not so good. No, relax, not so good. Then later, someone say release. I say, that's it. That's the word. That's my magic word. Release. Yeah, because sometimes when you meditate, halfway you get caught up in thinking. You know, some argument. Then in the middle of it, then I will hear myself say, that's right. Release. Then the whole thing can just flow away with the breath. It's going to come back. Right? Don't worry. Right? It will start again. But at that moment you release, it feels quite nice that I can just drop the whole thing, drop all those thoughts, all those unpleasantness. I just drop it, just even for one moment. Release. And if you don't give up on your mind, on yourself, one day your mind will give up. Say, all right, fine. Release, release. I'm not going to go anywhere. I'm just going to stay here. And you say, oh, how amazing. My mind is not going anywhere. I can hear the sound, I can feel the breath, I can notice the bodily sensations, but no thoughts. Of course, you already start thinking already, but by saying that, but you notice a kind of stillness within yourself. And you can achieve that, not so difficult actually, right? Just by using the magic word, release. Okay, so let's give it a try. Huh? So once again, please, settle yourself in a comfortable posture. Chairs are still available. Chairs are still available. Okay? And make sure that your back, your spine is upright in a natural way. Try not to tense up your back muscles unnecessarily. Try not to artificially straighten the back. Just allow it to be upright in a very natural way. Feel free to close your eyes completely if you want to. And rest your arms and hands in such a way that your shoulders can be relaxed. So just as before, become aware of sensations at the points of contact between your body and the seats, the body and the ground. Really allow yourself to feel that your body is resting on something very firm, stable and solid. Could be hard, could be soft, but you're really resting your body on the earth, on the ground. And your entire body is well supported in this posture, well balanced, and therefore safe. So when that message reaches your brain, your body will automatically begin a process of unwinding or loosening up, or settling down into the posture. So that's step number one, acquiring the seat. And for step number two, helping our body and mind to make the transition, this time we're going to make use of the breath. Make use of the breath to help to reconnect our attention back to the body, reconnect the mind with the body, so that we can help body and mind to begin the process of shifting gears, to let go of things that are not helpful or unnecessary for meditation. So for that, see if you can become aware of the breath, the sensations within your body that are associated with the breath. So some of us may notice it around the nostrils. You can feel the air flow in and out of your body. you may notice the movements of your chest synchronized with the breath, expanding and contracting with each breath. Or you may notice the breath at the abdomen region. I feel a movement of rising and falling of the abdomen as we breathe in and out. So I suggest and I recommend becoming aware of this whole movement of the breath, like a wave flowing in and out, rising, falling, expanding, contracting. And see if you can notice breath sensations in different parts of your body. Instead of just focusing on one single spot, see if you can experience the entire movement of your breath within your body. So coming back to your breath, you are also coming back to your own body. You will become more aware of sensations of the breath and also sensations of your body. You notice parts of the body may feel tight, tense or uncomfortable. You may also notice other parts of your body that feel pretty relaxed, soft, at ease and comfortable. And if you pay close attention to the breath, especially your out-breath, you may notice that subtle sense of release that comes along with your out-breath. The relaxation of your diaphragm and the muscles of your chest so that air can flow out. So now and then, if you like, as you breathe out, you can remind yourself with the magic word, release. Breathing out, we release the stale air in our lungs, we release the carbon dioxide. Maybe some tightness or tension or discomfort in your body may also flow away with the breath. And maybe some of the thoughts or images, the memories, the concerns that preoccupy your mind, your attention, also maybe they can also flow away with the breath. So coming back to your breath, especially to your out-breath, as you breathe out and say the word release, maybe we can begin by releasing any tension or tightness in our face. So often we unconsciously tense up these muscles, especially if we are trying out something new, something unfamiliar. So if you do notice any tightness or discomfort or tension in your face, see if you can, especially when you breathe out, release those tensions. Let in a feeling of softness into your face, a feeling of relaxation and comfort into your face. So coming back to your breath, and as I said earlier, you are most welcome to ignore what I'm saying if it's not helpful to you. As you breathe out and as you deepen the sense of release, do not worry too much of what you are releasing, and also no need to try too hard to relax your body. You just allow it to happen all by itself. All you need to do is to come back to the breath, notice your breath, notice your out-breath, and remind your body and mind with the word release. So coming back to your breath again and again, see if you can do this patiently, gracefully, no need to be upset, no need to be frustrated, because this is the natural process of meditation, of coming back and returning your attention to your support, to the breath, and alongside with the breath, to your own body, so that you can help your body and mind in their own time, at their own pace, to make that transition, releasing all the unnecessary things, release the unnecessary tension, release the things that preoccupy your mind, so that body and mind can settle down into meditation. So coming back to your breath again and again, the step two of the process, helping body and mind make transition into meditation, will just automatically flow into step three, deepening meditation. The breath is a support, it's always here, you don't have to worry about it. And no matter how far or how long your attention has wandered off, preoccupied with other things, you can always, when you become aware of it, come back to the breath. Come back to the breath, especially when you notice your out-breath. Once again, remind yourself to release. So coming back to your breath, see if you give your body and mind lots of time, lots of space for the process to unwind, for you to release all unhelpful things. And so the body and mind can fully settle deeply into the meditation. Come back to the breath, and if your attention stay with the breath, that's wonderful, let it be. And if it doesn't stay with the breath, not a problem. You can always come back to the breath and release. See if you can release also any attempt to try harder, release extra effort, release unnecessary tension, release all your expectations of how the meditation should be. Just keep it simple. Come back to the breath and release. And then finally, check in with your awareness. Notice how your body is feeling in meditation. Notice which parts of your body may be feeling a bit more relaxed, more comfortable, more at ease. And also see if you can acknowledge any part of your body that may be feeling a bit tight and tense or uncomfortable. Check in also on the state of your mind, the quality of your attention. Are you feeling a bit drowsy, a bit dull, a bit unclear? Is the mind still fairly active, maybe agitated, excited, lots of thoughts? Or maybe there is a relative sense of stillness and calmness within the mind. Not too much thoughts, not too much disturbance. And see if you can allow yourself to just acknowledge and enjoy anything pleasant that come out of your meditation. Highlight them to yourself. Become aware of the pleasant aspects of meditation and just enjoy them. Be happy about them. Okay, so that is calm abiding meditation using the breath as the support. Any questions? Yeah. So the question is, if you can effortlessly lengthen the pause between the inhalation and exhalation. Or between exhalation and inhalation, there's a few two pauses. Should we do that? If you do meditation calm abiding, then I suggest you don't, because it's not a breath regulation technique. It's not a pranayama, like for example in the yoga tradition. So you just let it be. If it goes long, then it's long. If it's short, it's short. Yeah. Because actually, pranayama, which is a different form of breath control regulation, is a technique within itself, whereby you intentionally change something about the breath. You know, could be the pause, could be the inhalation itself, or the exhalation itself. All that require effort. Right? And it may have some effect, but you also introduce extra effort into the meditation. And in calm abiding meditation, we want to reduce the effort until it becomes an effortless experience. So it's so usually I don't adjust the breath. Yeah. Okay. Also, as far as breath is concerned, you mustn't think that deep meditation means that your breath must be long, slow, deep. Right. You must not. I'm suggesting that don't hold on to that idea too much, right? Because sometimes when you go really deep in your meditation, you don't need so much oxygen, right? So your breath actually can become quite shallow in deep meditation, can become very subtle. Sometimes it can become almost as if it disappears, right? And if you hold on to an idea that my breath must be deep, must be long, must be slow, you might forfeit the chance of going deeper into your meditation, because you're always subtly trying to control your breath. Okay, so it's best to just leave the breath to your body. It will know how to adjust itself. Yeah. Any other question? Yes. Yeah. Anything that happened is good. Something is happening, right? Yeah. So that's okay. No, you. Don't worry too much. Sometimes what happens is when are you new to meditation? Yeah, new. We try a bit too hard. It's a bit like there's one meditation where people ask you to observe your thoughts, right? When people didn't ask you, you have lots of thoughts, blah, 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 blah. Then suddenly you need to observe your thought. Nothing. Where's the thought? Come on. I need you to appear to observe. Yeah. So because the intention is too strong, like the intention to observe the breath, how's the breath? That is like, you turn on the spotlight, right? Then the breath or thought or whatever it is become a bit shy, and then it starts to react to what you're doing. But not a problem, because with the magic word release, right, after a while you also cannot keep up the intensity, right? You also become a bit more, you feel tired, right? You relax a bit, then the whole system will readjust itself. Yeah. So don't worry about it. Yeah. Also, when I present, just a few more minutes, last thing, meditation, calm abiding meditation, I prefer people to err on the side of being too relaxed as opposed to not relaxed enough. Most people, they would say, I must stay awake. I must stay awake in my... I must stay alert and awake. I cannot doze off. Right. So what happens is that they hold on to their tension. because they want to stay awake, right? And even though they're so tired, they're going to doze off. So they hold on to, or they even increase the amount of tension, tightness, just to fulfill this idea that I must stay awake in meditation. Now, I suggest you don't. I know it's a bit embarrassing. I suggest you to go the other way. You'd be too relaxed that you fall asleep, doze off, you snore, you drool. Doesn't matter. Just let it go. Go the whole way, all right? Once you get used to it, eventually, at first it's a bit exaggerated, like, because you thought go all the way. But you will find that overall, you feel better. Because actually, it's a kind of rest, right? Right. So we need the rest. And also you learn how you can release tension, release agitation. Maybe a bit too much until you fall asleep or you become a bit dull. Even if you don't fall asleep, the mind is not so bright, not so awake. Doesn't matter. You just go that extreme first. Later when you're very comfortable, in fact, I taught some people like for a long time, many years, meditation. They get so good at it that they just sit down and they just start the process, however they do it. Within a minute or two, they will tell me that their body feels so relaxed, like so mellow and so soft and so comfortable. Even though their mind is still active, but the body feels very relaxed. Then I say, oh, that is wonderful. So that is one thing, one box you can tick already. No, because your body already settled. Then you can come and settle the mind. Then you can start to adjust your mind or too agitated or too dull. You can start to adjust that later on. But first, you get your body feel so comfortably relaxed, not collapsed, but just relaxed and settled, that you don't have to worry about it for the rest of your meditation. Right? And even if your mind is not completely settled during the meditation, you feel that something has happened. Some benefit has come up, right? Because I help my body to release the kind of stress reactions, you know? And so automatically there is already benefit, right? Then the next step is to learn how to be relaxed, but not so relaxed, you know? So to bring the mind back into balance, okay? Because if you don't do this, you don't go all the way, you're always sort of like, there's always this tension in the body and tension in the mind. It's a bit like you're trying to, you know how the pendulum works? No? You want to settle the pendulums. The easiest way is to just let it go. Like. Then you go this side, and you come back. After a while, you will stop at its natural stillness, right? It's like, otherwise you hold on to the pendulum, say, okay, now I must move it to the center. Now I must move it, you know, move it to the perfect point, yeah, with your own, with effort, you know. What's the point, right? And also, in the case of pendulum, you can see where is the balance point. In the case of your own body and mind, you don't know where is that balance point is, right? Right? So, this method of just let the pendulum go, and so that it swings, it's called bouncing off extremes. Bouncing off extremes. You go from one extreme to the other, then you say, oh, this is too much, then you bounce back. You say, oh, this is still too much here. And before you know it, you will be able to find your balance point. You'll be able to settle into it. Right? So that's why I tend to err on the side of asking people to be too relaxed, too comfortable, too at ease at the beginning. Okay, sounds all right? And at home, I would encourage you to try meditation. After all, you only benefit from it when you meditate, right? My slogan is regular practice is better than irregular practice. Regular doesn't mean daily. Regular means that 3 times a week or 2 times a week or once a month or I even say once a year. Yeah, yeah. The special day of the year, I shall meditate. Yeah, right. 10 years means 10 meditations. Better than none, right? Right. Regular practice is better than irregular practice. Irregular practice means this week 5 days, next week none, the week after that 3 or whatever, you know, irregular. But irregular practice is better, infinitely better than no practice. If you don't meditate, you will never get any benefit out of meditation. So you just somehow try to fit it in. Yeah. And Also, the last thing, you might want to try meditating lying down on your back, supine position. And if you do yoga, this posture called the corpse posture, corpse pose, Shavasana, is very good. And then you try to do what I covered today and see what is the effect. You might get more quickly to the other extreme, you know, and help you to sleep, isn't it? Yeah. So then you get to be familiarized with how to help your body at least to release the tension. Okay? So thank you very much for your attention. Enjoy your weekend. Hope to see you next week. You will stay awake, you mean? If you can't fall asleep, then you don't do it. Because you will. Yeah. Yeah, then you should stop and just go to sleep.